Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode is sponsored by the Digital Marketing Institute, helping over 10,000 professionals worldwide to fulfill their potential in a variety of exciting roles, from growth hacker to social media specialist. As you know, digital is transforming the way we live, work, and play. And the Digital Marketing Institute can help you to develop the essential skills that you need to succeed. Visit dmipostgrad.com, that is dmipostgrad.com, to download a brochure and kickstart your digital career today.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so, so very, very cool of you to join me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a world traveler, seasoned hustler, fitness and food enthusiast, and tech entrepreneur. His strengths are in sales, marketing, traffic, and products. He was the youngest Cisco engineer in Australia at age 16 and later founded a marketing company with teams in the USA, the Philippines, and India. The company broke $1 million in revenue in less than 3 years. He is now the co-founder and CEO of Process Street, a simple process and workflow management system. Now, let's hack. Vinay Paitankar. Today's episode is brought to you by the incorporation experts at BizFilings. For a job done right, you've got to go to the experts. And when it comes to incorporation, that means bizfilings.com. There, the process is clearly laid out for you with step-by-step guidance from on-demand professionals. Incorporation can bring you savings, protections, and growth, so you don't want to do it with just any old website. BizFilings has been at it for nearly 20 years, founded by entrepreneurs who set out to create the kind of experience they'd want if they had to do it all over again. Straightforward information, clarifying tools, and instant access to experts via email, phone, or chat. You may not have incorporation all figured out just yet, but a quick visit to BizFilings is a step in the right direction. Go to bizfilings.com/start for a free guide to get a clear line of sight into your incorporation. That's bizfilings.com/start.
We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have another very, very special guest. Vinay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Great to be here. Really, really excited to be on the show and be part of one of your guests among like so many really awesome people.
Awesome. I'm glad you're here. All right, Vinay, let's jump into this. Vinay, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
It's just going to be hustle, I think, because my kind of skill set is I'm good at a lot of things, but I'm not like amazing at kind of any one thing. So my kind of background, I was the youngest Cisco engineer in Australia when I was 16. I've worked like a job since I was 11. I don't even remember all the jobs that I've had. I've studied finance. I've worked in banks. I've worked doing enterprise sales. I've run a bunch of different companies. I know a lot about internet marketing. But I'm not really like an expert in like any one of those things. So for example, take my co-founder, Cameron, who's the CTO. He's been programming since he was 14. And that's like all he's done. You know, he's 33, I think now. And that's all he's basically done like in his professional kind of career. And also as a hobby as well that whole time. So he's like actually an expert at that. But for me, I'm great at like managing a bunch of different things. I'm great at just banging down the door and pushing through when it needs to get done. I'm pretty good at like controlling like my emotions, so being resilient and not getting kind of disheartened with rejection and with failure and just kind of like pushing through. I'm always kind of like looking for opportunities. And so I think it's just kind of like that all around kind of jack of all trade, just hustle, just push it through, like move all the other pieces forward a little bit and let the people who are specialists at like what they do it and kind of give them everything that they need to kind of get their jobs done. So I think it's just like that, just like pure kind of like hustle. I think that's probably what's gotten me to where I am. I'm working harder, putting more energy into it than the other people around me and just getting it done.
It's awesome. I love it. And So this whole not being an expert really at anything, but being good at a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Has this ever made you second guess, though, the fact that you should even be running a business?
No, I don't think so. So, I mean, like, I'm still, you know, I don't have any skill sets in, say, medicine, right? But I definitely have, like, a very, like, advanced skill set in, you know, startups and technology and marketing and stuff like that. But, like, inside the world of a startup, for example, which is my world, you know, you have specialists, you have developers, you have marketers, you have like sales guys. And I wouldn't say that I would be perfect for any of those jobs. Maybe marketing would be the closest one. But I do know like a lot about all those different jobs. And so actually knowing a lot, but not being an expert at multiple areas of the company actually makes you better to run the company, in my opinion, than just being like an expert at one section of the company. Because like as a CEO, you need to understand all the different parts of the company. You need to see the bigger picture. You need to not just understand the product, not just understand the technical stack, but you also need to understand where your customers are coming from. You also need to understand what your investors want. You also need to understand, you know, how your marketing is working. And so knowing, not being an expert, but kind of being good in a lot of different things, especially if they are many like pieces of a larger puzzle, which is a startup, I think actually is an advantage because I'm able to kind of see across the different areas of the business, talk to all the different teams effectively and understand and give input, et cetera, in those different areas. So I don't think that I would have been able to, with the amount of time that I've had like on the earth, be an expert at any one of those things or be an expert at like multiple of those things, right? Like maybe some people like Tim Ferriss or whatever can do that, but I don't even know. Like he kind of says the same kind of thing, right? He doesn't class himself really as an expert or anything except maybe learning. But it's like knowing those different areas and not being an expert in one thing is kind of what I believe most CEOs are, right? They're kind of like, they know everything that's going on in the business. They probably could not do any of the jobs in that business as well as the people that are doing them. But the other people couldn't kind of match everything else together as well as the CEO can. That makes sense.
It does. It totally makes sense. Yeah. And that was actually the answer I was hoping for from you. So, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you hire specialists, right, to do specific tasks, and you would hope that they do those specific tasks better than you could as the CEO.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Vinay, you mentioned how you've had more jobs than you know, from college to banks to a whole number of other things. And now this is your third startup you've created. And I want to know this. So we have to go back because there's this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things, right? Either they have this calling to make this big difference in the world, or they find they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. Could you tell me when you discovered this about yourself and then which side of the fence you fall on?
Yeah, I think it's probably the can't work for somebody else or just like it didn't make sense to work for somebody else kind of idea. So for me, it was basically, I was a software recruiter. I'm from Australia. So I was a software recruiter in Sydney. I used to recruit developers for the investment banks and I was 23. I was making really good money, like 140 grand a year. And I was kind of comfortable. I'd got myself into a kind of pretty nice situation where I'd got a house and then had built up a little bit of experience so that if I did ever leave, I could always come back into a job, right? Like I had other companies trying to poach me and stuff like that. So I had a little bit of a safety net. And so my actual idea was not to go and become an entrepreneur. It was actually just to travel. So that was like the first idea. And it was basically, okay, I have a bit of money in the bank. I'm still pretty young and I would like to do kind of a longer travel trip, you know, while I'm younger, because, you know, obviously the experience, if I do it when I'm 24 to when I'm doing it, if I'm 34 or 44 is going to be very different. Mm-hmm. And regardless of how much money I have, you can't kind of like get that time back and recreate that experience. Right. And so it was more about, you know, I have the rest of my life to make money. I want to kind of get some good experiences under my belt because to develop myself as a person and my character and stuff like that. And so that was the first kind of step. And I basically had planned to quit my job and just go for 6 months traveling with savings that I had, right? And so that was the plan. And then I started doing that. And then as I was gearing up towards leaving my job, I actually read the 4-Hour Workweek. Mm-hmm. And that was about 3 months before I was planning to leave and go on this trip. And I was reading that, I kind of came to the realization, like, I can make money while I travel. That's the greatest idea I've ever heard. And it wasn't like and real money, right? Not like I can go teach English in Thailand and make $3 an hour and, you know, survive on rice. Like I can actually make, you know, six figures and or similar kind of equivalent money to what I'd be making in my job if I stayed working in this job. And so that was, it was more about, I'd set myself up with a nice kind of fallback plan. I'd given myself a bunch of time to take off to explore new things. And this was something that I thought that would really kind of match my lifestyle. And so I basically just copied the book. And so I said, okay, I have a bit of money in the bank. I'm going to dedicate like $10,000 to experimenting with seeing if I can start an online company. You know, if it doesn't work, whatever, it's going to be a good test anyway. And so I basically just did what he said, where he said, go find a product and like start an e-commerce store and sell it. And that was like my first thing. It was very much like I'd very much kind of approached it as like, you know, this is like a side bet. You know how you approach, you know, going to the casino. It's like, I'm willing to lose this money, right? Yes.
I thought I said that.
It's like, that's kind of how I approached it, right? It's kind of, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's just an experiment. And I'm not kind of investing that much into it. And yeah, I found like a niche product that I started selling in Australia. I kind of built out a quick Shopify store before I left to go traveling and set up a bit of fulfillment. And then basically, as I traveled, I just worked on the marketing side. So I just, you know, on the website, and then on basically finding customers, and that started generating a little bit of income. First, like $1,000, you know, $500 a month, and $1,000 a month. And by the time it was 6 months, it was making like $1,500 or $1,800 a month in profit, which was more than enough to live in like Thailand and some of the other places that I was staying. And so I basically just kept going, and 6 months turned into a year and a half. Ended up coming back to Australia and selling that e-commerce store. And that was kind of like my first experience, internet marketing and entrepreneurship, really. And so it wasn't really a huge success, but it was enough to know that it could be done, and that even though I was making a lot less money, I had a lot more freedom and flexibility. And then with all the exchange rate arbitrage and stuff like that, my lifestyle was actually way more comfortable than, you know, waking up early in the morning, putting on a suit every day, you know, working 12 hours, coming back. And my life was way more chill. And so I wanted to keep going that way. And yeah, and I started new projects. And so it was after I sold that e-commerce store that I basically started going to conferences in the US, things like New Media Expo, Affiliate Summit, LeedsCon, and learned more about the industry as a whole, because I was kind of just like in my own little bubble learning about my e-commerce store in Australia. That's where I learned things like SEO and email marketing and some of the online stuff. But I really wanted to kind of take it to the next level and build something that could generate more money, but also keep me location independent. That was kind of my next goal, was to generate income. Didn't necessarily have to be passive, but it had to be location independent so I could be wherever I wanted. So I went to the conferences, started a lead gen company, and then ran that for like the next 4 years and traveled the world.
Wow. So lead gen company for another 4 years. And that was probably more, I would assume, solo enterprise. You can just travel, right? I mean, you could really lifestyle design at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I had a team, I think probably about 20 people at the most.
Oh, wow.
Maybe after about 3 years or something. But it was all remote. So everyone was distributed. I had an office in India with like 7 people in it, which I'd never gone to. But otherwise, you know, everything was completely distributed. So did scale up the team. I mean, that's an important part of like passive income, quote unquote, right? Is like having other people working for you. But it was the goal was to, you know, to be able to be selling, you know, digital products or leads so that we didn't need to have a lot of inventory, you know, have the team kind of set up so most people were contractors and they were working from home. So we didn't need to have a lot of overhead with taxes and payroll and office and things like that. And so that was kind of more the goal of the company, was to keep it structured that way. And it had to be, because I couldn't really work anywhere else except Australia. And Australia is like so expensive that I probably wouldn't have been able to profitably run the company in Australia anyway. So
then what pushed you to start an idea like Process Street and go for funding? And to seems like more of a, where everything I'm assuming isn't fully distributed team, is it?
No, well, we're semi-distributed. We have 3 people in New York. Which is the development team. And then we have 2 people in Europe, and then a kind of outsourced marketing team in India and the Philippines. And we're looking to hire another 2 to 3 people in New York. And so that will probably be the structure of the company, where development will stay together. And then either in the same office, we'll have development and sales, or we'll have a separate sales office. And then we'll have supporting staff like marketing and maybe support and stuff like that. That's a bit more distributed.
But did you feel like you were missing something like by being fully distributed? And like, or was it just sort of a natural evolution for you now that you just...
So product development is really, really hard when you do it in a distributed team. It's different to running like executing a tested process, right? Where you're just kind of like running this process and doing the work is much easier than like creating something that's never been created before. And so kind of laying out a process and telling everybody in the distributed team to run the process and making sure everybody did their jobs, that's a lot easier to manage than it is saying like, hey, like let's test this new thing or build this new thing that like no one's ever built before. And every day, like we're going to get new data and we're going to need to adjust based on that. And there's like going to be, you know, just all this just like mountains of information coming from like thousands of people everywhere that needs to be processed. And it's just like, it's just so much work, right? That like you need to be talking about it like all day on the weekend for like you to even like, you know, to be able to make progress, right? Like it's just so much more work than just executing on a simple, on a predefined process that you already know that works, right? Like once a SaaS company gets to the point of like Salesforce or maybe not even that big, like Zendesk or something, and they're like, okay, we know what our product is. We know exactly how much it costs for us to acquire a customer. We know exactly how much it costs for support. We know exactly how much on average, like when a customer returns, we know all our metrics. We know how everybody interacts with our product. We know how much our sales teams cost. We know how much we sell to the enterprises. Once you know all that, you can then build systems, roll out multiple offices, and then execute on those processes because you know everything now, right? But that's like when a company's gone out of being a startup into being like a real company. They're no longer like looking for product market fit. They're now just like executing on scaling and like implementing their systems and processes, right? And that's kind of when you get to a normal company. And that's a huge difference between a startup and another companies. It's like other companies, either they sell a pre-existing product, they sell a service, which generally doesn't require a long lead up time to build. Or maybe if they do sell a product, a lot of the time, actually, I mean, it just depends on the product, on the company, but I say in the internet marketing world and solo entrepreneurs and stuff like that, a lot of the time, like their products are a lot easier to make. So if you make an information product, maybe it takes you 3 months, maybe 6 months or something like that for one person, maybe two, three people, right? But like a startup, it takes like, you know, 20 engineers, like 5 years to build, right? Like it's really hard. And if you distribute that engineering team, like you're just making it harder. You're just like guaranteed you're going to be able to communicate less, right? Like I'm not going to have lunch with these people every day. I'm not going to go for beers every night with these people. I'm not going to hang out with them on the weekends. Like it just can't happen, right? So that communication flow slows down, which basically means your speed suffers. And so it's not impossible, but when you're in like the hyper-competitive world of, you know, startups in Silicon Valley, and we went through AngelPad, and it's like the most competitive, like, space I've ever experienced by a long shot. You know, speed is super important because there's other people coming for your space, right? And so you need to have that competitive advantage, and then being in the same place just gives you, you know, an extra point of competitive advantage across all the different points that you can have, you know?
Yeah, I do. And so you're the CEO, you have a partner who's the CTO, I believe.
Correct.
And then you have two other developers and marketing teams sort of distributed.
Yeah.
What was the first person you guys hired in the company?
Well, the story of Process Street was the product I actually wanted when I was running my last marketing company. And that was where the idea formulated. And it was basically because I was looking for a product to help me manage and implement processes and systems across my distributed team. And I couldn't find one that was simple and clean and easy to use and didn't look like something that was built 10 years ago by IBM. And, you know, that was kind of the initial idea for the product. And so what happened was for a little while, I ran both the companies in parallel, just as we were kind of getting things set up and the other company was still bringing in some profit. And so what I eventually did was I actually just shut down my lead generation company and took over like the five people from that team that were helping me doing lead gen, and I brought them over to Process Street. And so they were kind of all marketing assistants in India and the Philippines that had experience doing lead generation on various things. And so those were kind of the first hires, I guess you'd say, right? That I ported them over from my other company. But basically from that, we didn't really have money to actually hire anybody until we raised some money. And I wasn't trying to, beyond hiring outsources, right? Like, hiring real people is really expensive.
It is, yeah.
Super expensive. It's like, you know, when you're an employee and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I got $100,000 salary, and you tell your parents, you're like, that's awesome. It's like, try paying three people $100,000 each, right? Like, it becomes way harder and much more expensive. So yeah, we couldn't really afford to hire anyone. And I preferred to basically, you know, when you bring someone else in, you bring them just in on salary, they're not going to work like the founders are, right? So I basically preferred to, instead of spending $50,000 to, you know, $70,000 to hire an extra person, I actually preferred to keep that $70,000 and give the two co-founders, Cameron and I, an extra 6 months that we could work, because that would actually mean we would get more output, right? Out of two of us spending $70,000 working, you know, 6 days a week and late at night, than we would paying one person for a year who's just going to come in kind of more as a normal employee. And so we held off until basically we raised some money. So we went through AngelPad, which is, you know, the leading accelerator in the world now that Y Combinator said they're no longer an accelerator and a seed fund. But basically it's like the number two accelerator. So we went through AngelPad, and then from there we got some angel investment. The first hire I did after that was a content marketer, and so basically a pure writer. And the reason that was the first hire was because I was going into fundraising mode, and up until that point I'd been responsible for doing basically all the content creation. And so that was essentially me systemizing that part of my business so I could focus on something else. And so I hired somebody else in to come in and take over the responsibilities of doing content creation, which basically freed up a bunch of my time to do fundraising and, you know, now to do hiring and scaling the team.
Nice. And do you know who you want to hire next? You said three people, I think you said you need to hire soon.
Yeah, so we want to hire two more engineers right now, potentially another content person at some point. But yeah, right now the focus is developers.
Is content where you see like your customer growth coming from?
Yeah, so content is, you know, where we're all in from a marketing perspective. And there's multiple ways that you have growth in a startup. But so you have like your top of the funnel, right? Which is where people are coming in. And then you have converting the funnel. And then converting the funnel is basically, in a startup world, it comes down to like the product and engineering team. So that's like automatic conversions. And then like the sales team, which is converting leads that are coming in from like higher value customers and enterprises. And so those are kind of the three pieces you always need to work with in a startup. It's like, where's your top of the funnel coming in? And then how are you converting? Or at least in like a B2B SaaS startup. It's totally different if you're Facebook or whatever. But like if you're dealing with selling software to other businesses, those are kind of the three areas. So yeah, our marketing side is all content driven. You know, other people might use different things like Facebook ads or whatever, conferences. But yeah, we're purely marketing driven. And so that's where we see our top of the funnel growth coming in most. But then there are other areas that we need to work on as well to actually make sure that we're converting those customers. Because, you know, you can drive in enterprise leads all day, but unless you have the correct sales team, unless your product is up to scratch, like, you're never going to convert any of them. So just driving leads is only one part of growth, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Awesome. Okay, let's move quickly to projects. So projects is a loose term. Probably, I would think in Process Street, it's probably going to be new features at this point. But I would love to know what the thought process is, or if you have an actual paper process at this point, but what it is, how you guys determine where it is a direction you should put your resources into, or what is a new feature that you should add on to Process Street?
Yeah, so there's many different projects that are going on, right? First, you've got to segment the company into teams or sessions, right? So you have like the product team and the engineering team, so they have their projects, and then you have the marketing team, and then basically there's me, which is kind of like the everything else, but that includes projects like, you know, setting up HR systems, setting up sales systems, setting up like different marketing systems, and basically just more kind of operational projects. But so for example, right now we're like redesigning the whole marketing website, and we've engaged with an agency. And so that's like a whole project that basically the agency is coming in and is going to redesign the whole website. You know, fundraising and dealing with investors is a different project. And so there's different kind of streams to go on. So basically you look at all the streams you have, right? So I have the product stream, I have the marketing stream, and then I kind of have like business operations stream. And so we're basically always doing multiple projects, or at least one project in each stream, right? And so on the product side, like, they have one way of figuring out how they do new features, and that's going to be around generally talking to customers and looking at our data. Those are like the two main ways. So from doing support, we have automatic surveys that go out. I do a ton of sales calls and demo calls and support calls with customers. And then we just engage with customers via email. And then we have all our analytics and tracking, things like Mixpanel and Google Analytics that help us look at what people are using and how people are using them. And then based on all that, we basically use that to formulate features. And then we prioritize them against like our in-house stuff. So, you know, where is our tech stack at and how much debt might this incur or how much might we have to do to actually execute on this and how complex is it technically and things like that. And that's kind of like the process that goes into deciding new features. Then you have like the marketing stream, right? And there's always new marketing projects going on. So there's like external marketing blog posts on our blog, guest posts. Actually, we were just talking about this as a project that I want to do is actually looking at doing a podcast. So that's like a separate marketing project. And then we have other things that are like marketing automation. So we have like all the email triggers and stuff like that that needs to happen in the app and all the content on the website, like the user guide, demo videos, all that kind of stuff. Those are all kind of other marketing projects that happen. And then, yeah, there's all the business operations stuff, like I was saying. You know, there's a lot of things going on. For example, like another project we want to do is right now, mostly Cameron and I do most of the support, but we want to start spreading that around the team. So we want to basically rotate support for a week between each team member. And like, that's another project, you know?
I love the processes that you have behind all of this, though. And if you weren't running Process Street, I would tell you that you should be. And I love that it came from just you wanting something, scratching your own itch from your previous business. And you, I mean, we all know how important processes are within our businesses, but I think it's one of the most difficult things that people have, especially with startups and solo businesses, right? Is the processes are what hold people back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs and most of them always tell me that they don't have processes for all these things. Or they do, obviously, but not written down, not documented, and you are the opposite. And you're going to work to help everybody figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? I mean, documenting processes is one thing, but we definitely believe we can take it to another level where we're not just purely documenting them, but we're actually helping you execute them. We're helping you get visibility across them being executed, and then we're actually helping you improve them as well. So, yeah, I think paper-based processes are pretty old school.
Yeah, when I say paper, I actually mean on a computer. I don't mean actually on paper. I just...
Sure.
It's documented. It's actually... Because otherwise I get people who tell me that, oh, I don't have any processes. It's like, well, you have a process for everything.
Right.
You just haven't documented it, and therefore it's probably super inefficient.
Yeah.
Everybody does something habitually in a process, right? I make coffee in a process. It's probably just really backwards and doesn't make sense. And I wouldn't be good at owning a coffee shop, but that's what I mean by paper. That's all.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think like you're saying, like the first step is kind of, you know, realizing that everything is a process. And then the next step is identifying what your kind of most, you know, your highest value processes are. And then identifying that you already do have a process for them, looking at it, writing it down, and then trying to figure out how to optimize it, right? Because like, it's like small things, right? Like some companies, especially businesses that have been running for a while, like 5 years, 10 years, and like have been making a profit, there's probably like a few small things that you can do in those companies that are going to create like huge returns, right?
Exactly.
That they just like haven't realized, they haven't just taken the kind of energy to look at, they've just put themselves in this habit of, you know, at the end of each day, they take the cash out and they put it in Excel and they type it out and then they create this report. It takes them like an hour each day. Like you could probably do that automatically, right? There's probably something like that in every business that, not every business, you know, startups are a bit better. I think people that adopt technology are a little bit better at that. But I think more kind of traditional businesses, especially ones that have been running for a while and are kind of complacent in their habits of how they do things, there's probably a few small things that you could do into those businesses that are going to make a huge impact on the efficiency and the profitability of them.
Exactly. All right. So if we are sitting down 1 year from today and sort of going over this amazing year that Process Street has, basically, I want to know what you have for goals for the next 12 months. What are you guys going to accomplish?
I mean, our goal is to get to $1 million a year in revenue in 12 months. And so that looks something like about 5,000 customers, with kind of a subset of those being enterprise customers, and you know, 100,000 signups.
Nice, it's huge. So you're not thinking small.
Well, no, our investors won't let us think small.
I love it. All right, Vinay, we've got to talk about your business just in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener where to find your business and give them the pitch for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, we're a startup. Our product's called Process Street. You can find it at www.process.st, or just type Process Street into Google. And we are a simple workflow platform to help companies manage their processes and systems. So we like to call ourselves Trello for workflows or Slack for workflows, where we're taking what traditionally enterprises have had as like a really kind of large, clunky product built by IBM or or Microsoft SharePoint's like a great example of that. And we're doing kind of what Trello did to project management, where we're redefining like how you can engage with that kind of product, making it really simple and clean and easy to use, making it really affordable and accessible. We actually the product's completely free right now. We will be rolling out a business plan, but we'll also always have a free plan so that you can come in and kind of use it for free, especially for smaller teams. And you know, we think that the way that enterprises manage their processes should be accessible to everybody, to small businesses, to medium businesses. And it's kind of been like a market segment that has really been like cut out of this space. Like enterprises have had process workflow management software for 10 plus years, but SMBs have literally never had access to it because it's always been too expensive and too complicated. And so not only are we redefining like how the enterprises can, how they interact with that kind of product, but we're also opening it up so that companies that never had access to it before can actually come in and start to build simple workflows and systemize different parts of their businesses. And so we're really excited about that. We're really seeing some great results from a lot of our users.
Excellent. So process.st, 4-hour work week, because you mentioned it a couple times during this conversation, and AngelPad. I will link to all those in the show notes, so they're very, very easy for you to find. I believe you are also on Twitter?
Yep, absolutely. So you can find me at VinayP10.
VinayP10. Excellent. I've also got to use Process Street very briefly so far, and I'm really impressed with it, and I'm looking forward to jumping more into it. Once I do, I will let you, the listeners, know, but definitely go check it out for yourselves. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really do appreciate the conversation, and just please keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
No, I really appreciate it, John. It's an honor to be here, and thanks so much for your time.
Vinay, thank you so much for the conversation. That was a lot of fun. It was cool to talk to a young hustler out there in the tech world, getting funded, starting a really, really cool business. The reason how I had found actually Vinay, well, he found me. He reached out to me via my website and the contact form and thought that literally doing outreach for people who could use his service. His service is free at this point. Process.st, I believe, is the website. And it just simplifies the processes within a business. My business, this one being the podcast, and there's so many steps to getting this show out the door. And he just reached out to me, then he jumped on a video call with me, walked me through it. It was amazing. And after that, I was blown away by him. So I was like, man, you should be on my show. And I'm glad he was, because he's a very, very, very smart guy that a lot of us could learn just so many things from, especially just that hustle. I love it. So going through this conversation, we talked about a lot of different things, and Vinay said a lot of smart things, but you're probably out there thinking the same thing I did. He said a lot of smart things, but he said one thing that just stuck out. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
The product I actually wanted when I was running my last marketing company, and that was where the idea formulated. And it was basically because I was looking for a product to help me manage and implement processes and systems across my distributed team. And I couldn't find one that was simple and clean and easy to use and didn't look like something that was built 10 years ago by IBM.
And that's the hack. Yes, Vinay. I love this. And I needed to pull this out for two reasons. One, because I love the fact that you scratched your own itch, as they say. There's always this, where do these product ideas come from? And we lead lives or run businesses or do things in day-to-day, and there's parts of that that annoy the crap out of us. And we just get used to it or we ignore it. But if you pay attention to it like Vinay did, then these are usually, you're not the only one. And this is a great point to be made. And it extends beyond this, because the other point is this journey of businesses. As an entrepreneur, we typically don't create one business, have it be a success, and then that's it. And we just do that for the rest of our lives. Actually, it rarely ever, ever works like that anymore. And so I love how Vinay wouldn't have been able to guess a year ago or 2 years ago that he was going to run Process Street, but he was running a business, and in that business there was these issues, and then he just rolled those employees into this new company and just kept rolling with it, rather than like, oh, I want this lead generation company to work and work and work and just keep banging his head against the wall. He just no, actually, this new idea is better. And Roald took what he had, took what he'd learned, took what he'd built up for employees and just his knowledge of business, and then rolled it into a completely new and potentially way bigger market. And I think this is super, super key because, as I've said so many times, it's almost impossible to know where you're going looking forward. To say I'm going to be here in 5 years is next to impossible in business. But looking back, these things make sense. But they only make sense if you're actually out there actively running and trying to grow businesses and do new things and see where they lead. Because we don't know. We don't know which ones will take off, which ones won't. But know that it's not a failed attempt, even if that one, that lead generation one having to be shut down, isn't a failure. It's literally the thing. If he didn't have that, he wouldn't have started Process Street, and now he wouldn't be funded, and he wouldn't be starting a really, really, really awesome company. That's just the way this works. The momentum breeds more momentum, and you have to just keep start moving and then just keep moving and not take the failures or even take them as failures. Just keep learning from them, growing, building new stuff. That's the way it works. And I thank you so much for that, Vinay. All right. That was a lot of fun. HackTheEntrepreneur.com. That's the place. HackTheEntrepreneur.com/iTunes is the place if you would like to leave me a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps so much and I would appreciate it. It takes you about a minute and 47 seconds, I think, maybe 48 seconds, but I would really, really, really appreciate it. It helps the show so much. And yeah, I'm also writing a book, as I've told you, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You can put your name on the email list and I will be notifying you. And actually, I've been sending out some bits of it, kind of trying to get your feedback, see what's working, what isn't. But December 14th is the tentative launch date. And yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. And I hope you think so too. Anyways, this has been fun. I thank you as always. Please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.